I was initially writing a self-help book with all the tips on writing habits and goal setting and like stories from my clients. And I, you know, thought, okay, well, I'm, you know, a businesswoman, I ought to write a business book. And I started writing it and I got stuck about 30,000 words in, and something inside of me told me it's not quite right. And so it took me quite a long time figuring out if that book is the wrong book for me, or if I'm just stuck and I'm, you know, overthinking it. It's very hard to diagnose yourself, even when you're a coach, as you know, right? So what I did was I took a step back and said, let's leave it for a week or two and just, you know, enjoy myself, do something else. And then I realized that wasn't the right book for me to create at the time.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Attention, attention, attention. You're tuning into the Going North Podcast. And today's special sponsor is the Going North Podcast Advancement Shop, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because we got some brand new hats now to add to the collection. So that's right, folks. We got some Going North Podcast hats, some Advance Others to Advance Yourself hats, and a few other designs. So head over to thegoingnorthpodcast.com shop. Pick up a hat or two for your wonderful, wonderful, brilliant, bright head of yours for tuning in. And check it out like a library book, my friends. Bonus points if you shoot us a picture of you rocking the hat so we can shoot it to the folks out there who rock and listen to this show. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get the chance to connect with podcast hosts, and they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because today's wonderful guest, y'all, she is a mom. She's a former journalist as well as a academic and a mindset and book coach. Let's give it up for the good doc herself, Miss NJ. We're not talking about New Jersey. We're talking about the fabulous Dr. Nicole Yons. How you doing today, Dr. Nicole?
Hey, doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and have a good chat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Indeed, it's good with all the O's. One of those good chats, indeed. Yeah. but yesterday, so my goodness, as with all introductions, and allowed to be 78.5 days long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 78.5 seconds. So my filling in the cavities, I may have missed about you and how you became the Dr. Nicole that you are today.
Wow, that's a big question. Okay. Well, I can tell you who I am today, and then I can tell you who I was before and after. So right now, at the moment, I'm a writer's coach. And I'm the author of The Right Habit Planner, which is a planner, a journal for productive writing and making space for writing in your life. And what I do is, if you're an entrepreneur or an author or an academic and you want to write a book, but you're unsure how to start, or maybe you've started and you got stuck in chapter two, which a lot of people tend to do, then I'm coming in and helping you get out of block, find ways to find flow, find ways to enjoy the writing, and yeah, get your book published. So this is who I am today and what I do, and I love it. But I didn't used to be that Nicole for a long time. I used to be an academic, I used to be a journalist. I burned out 4 years ago, doing too much, feeling quite bogged down in being very strict with my writing. As an academic, you have to be, everything is based on evidence. Everything has to be perfect. You have to be an overachiever. And all of these things played into how I already sort of was living my life, doing everything perfectly. Maybe you can hear from my accent, I'm German, so I'm trying to stick to the rules. And it just, for 10 years, that academic thing has just squeezed every ounce of joy that I had in writing out of me. I became a machine publishing peer-reviewed papers, and I was successful, but at some point my body just said no. It gave me panic attacks. I actually couldn't leave the house for a while because everything felt unsafe. And at the moment, in the moment then I thought, oh, I'm not functioning. What can I do? Yeah, let's do yoga. And very, hard on myself, sort of, I'm going to do yoga, meditation, and all the things, and I'm going to get back on track and show everyone. And so my body just, everything got worse, to the point where I really didn't know how to be with myself. I couldn't relax. I couldn't enjoy anything. Couldn't go and do anything. And so then it just forced me to take a pause. And then I realized that all of these things in my life that I had been running after didn't really bring me much. They didn't fulfill me. I was pretty disconnected from myself and what I actually wanted from life. And probably also not a very good mom, being easily irritated and just wanting to work all the time. And so I took that pause, which, it turned into 2 weeks off work, 4 months off work. I did actually return thinking I can turn it around, but I just went right back into burnout. So my body again told me no. This academic world, university professor teaching students, it's all great, but it's not for you. And so I stopped completely, didn't know what to do. And then I just started journaling and started taking, some courses at the university as a student. On creative writing and writing short stories. And I met other writers. And suddenly I felt like, oh, this writing can feel very different. It can feel sort of spacious and relaxed and joyful. And so that's how I then, bit by bit, without really knowing what I was doing, I wasn't trained to be a businesswoman or anything, but I started building this coaching business for book coaching. And now I am here doing what I do. I wouldn't say that I'm completely transformed and I'm never perfectionist, but my body really showed me the hard way. It was a bitter pill to swallow, to leave my academic job. But yeah, I'm so much happier now, and that's me. And I'm not gonna say in a nutshell, because I know that you do jokes about people and nuts in a nutshell.
So you knew I was going to ask about the cashews or the
I knew you were going to do that because I've been
almonds.
listening to your podcast.
All
No, and I will say that I love almonds. I have them every morning in my porridge, which is oatmeal in America, I think. And they are supposed to be very healthy. So there we go.
Yes, right indeed. Yes, right indeed. There we go. Hello, my folks. Are prepared indeed. Right indeed. But that's good though. Glad you're able to make it on the other side too. And that's definitely rough 2020 as is. And I'm not sure I was in the UK in terms of like getting the information beforehand or like lockdown and stuff like that, but probably the burnout getting that before and then the news of a worldwide pandemic on top of that. Piling on, probably causing a bunch of other panic attacks. Like, my goodness, it's good you're able to figure out, like, oh, this is not a good environment for me. Let me go ahead and switch careers here. Like, this is way too much. This is way too much. So, how's it like making that transition? Because I heard your current book actually was going to be something totally different and a lot longer.
Yeah. You know what? The transition was hard, but easier than I thought. Because, as with many industries, once you're in it, you are sort of part of the club, right? It's your whole identity. So, as an academic, my identity was, Professor Jans, teaching, grading. Learning new things like knowledge. I mean, I still love libraries, right? Research and all of these things. And sort of that was me. Like, I mean, I was a journalist before, but that's pretty similar, right? You sort of find information and you put it out there. And as an academic, I really specialized in being very technical with it. And all my friends were academics. I live in Cambridge, UK. So you can guess that anyone here is either working in tech or at the university. And leaving academia was not just about, not having a safe job anymore, but it was also about, well, who am I if I'm not, Dr. Jans anymore or Professor Jans or anything. And I will say that the moment I told many of my colleagues that I'm leaving, some of them were completely supportive and others sort of retreated because they just lived that life of being at conferences and talking to other academics and I wasn't part of it anymore. And so that identity shift was potentially one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I really had to find myself again. And I was, when you meet someone somewhere and they say, "Oh, what do you do?" And I had no idea. And I just started saying out of, because I had nothing else to say, "Yeah, well, I'm a writer," which is sort of true. If anyone who journals can say, "I'm a writer," that was the first thing I hooked onto. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just say that. I don't want to, keep saying, "Oh, yeah, I used to be." In the beginning, I actually said, like for the first year, I told people, "Oh, I'm actually a former academic," to just put myself up, like to sort of upgrade myself when I was actually not really in employment anymore. But I said I'm a writer, and sort of it really started sinking in that, well, all my life I have been writing. As a child, I wrote my diary. As a journalist, obviously you're writing. As an academic, you do write your research. And then I was writing fiction, I was writing nonfiction, I write blogs, I write all kinds of things, poems. And I thought, well, that is actually the most true version of myself. If I ever, I mean, other than being a mother, right? That's another role I have. But writer seems to be the thing that I am. And transitioning into that, it was really difficult. It took me 2, 3 years to let go of the old me. And everything in academia is very much oriented towards proving yourself. Proving that your hypothesis is right, but also proving that you can make it, that you can publish, get into the good journals, going to the conference, do I get the keynote, all of these things. And I really, really had to let go of that and just think about what gives me joy. Writing my journal this morning gives me joy. I'm a writer, right? So that shift was weird. And for quite a while, I felt I'm probably nothing and nobody until, I hooked onto the writer thing. So, yeah, and you know what? Once I decided, well, just for the time being, I'll use that label writer. I felt I did. I went deeper and deeper into it. It felt true to myself, and then everything else fell into place. Like I met other writers during lockdown at the time on Zoom because we were all lonely and wanted to write together. So we would put on a timer. Okay, let's share our goals. Put on a timer for 45 minutes, and we're all gonna write something. So I started organizing these writing retreats, which seemed easy to me. And then during the coffee breaks, some people would stay on. Like most people just wanted to get off their chair. We were all Zoom fatigue and all that, right? But some people stayed on in the breaks and told me, you know what, I'm really stuck with my writing. Or someone would even cry and say, oh, this, it's been so awful. I've been, I'm under such pressure to get my book out or something. And we would have conversations and I would just ask questions. I was curious what was bothering them. And then I suddenly realized that people came to these organized writing sessions more for hanging out with me and getting some advice and connecting and feeling seen and heard rather than just coming and writing their thing and, logging out again. And so I said, well, is anyone interested in writing coaching? I just said, I'm a writing coach now. Is anyone interested? And funnily enough, it totally. It went boom. People just said, yes, can we book in? And I kind of stumbled into that. I wish I could say, oh, that was my business plan. And, I knew what I was doing, but I was really just organically following what I thought at the time when all my whole world had fallen apart. The one thing that felt sort of authentic and natural and easy and joyful and helped me connect with other people, I just followed that. And that is not a natural thing for me to just follow something organically and see if it flows. This is not how I am, right? So, but this is sort of how I ended up now being a writer's coach and book coach and just talk to people who are stuck. And I love it so much to help them see why they might be stuck or how to build an easy habit to get going again.
Ah, yes indeed, yes indeed. I love it. It's right indeed, it's right indeed. It's like, oh shoot, from burnout to finally getting your book out there indeed and helping others to do the same indeed, hundreds upon hundreds of folks. It's right indeed. 'Cause yeah, like funny enough, like writer's block be for real for Some folks, I'm sure you come across that a lot for a lot of folks, where it's like they always want to get everything just right. And heck, they might even have maybe a story close to yours where it's like they may be burnt out in some other areas of life. And it's like, oh, shoot, that was the cause. It's like, all right, let me go and get this thing right here. There's so much stress we sometimes put on ourselves and yell folks to break through that point. So since you've had so many wonderful clients get to the finish line, what would you consider your biggest lesson learned as a coach that improved your, or should I say, what's your biggest lesson that you learned from one of your clients that improved your game as a coach?
I thought initially everything is about habit training, and that is 100% true, right? You do need to be disciplined and get into an automated habit of, how you start your day, how you sit down to write, having all your goals ready and all of those things. So that is absolutely true, and but it's not the only thing, and that's the lesson learned. What I learned, it's not just about goal setting, it's even more about mindset. And that's the thing that no one teaches you. At least no one taught me that. Most people who are perfectionist or, procrastinating or getting into block, it's not just because they don't have time to write and they are doing too much. That is certainly a component, but it's not the only thing. I think what's behind it is often fear, right? You're afraid. What happens if I'm not going to be able to write a good book? What happens if I do write a good book and people expect high things from me afterwards? Can I really trust myself with this book? If it's a memoir, how open do I want to be? If it's a nonfiction or a self-help book, can I trust myself to say the right thing, to be heard in the right way? And a lot of people don't have the space to talk about this, right? There's a lot of productivity advice out there. I've got all the books behind me on my shelf on how to be productive, how to have good habit, how to set good goals. But the mindset part, how to see your future self and bring compassion into how you do your writing life, how to build that trust in yourself, how to get yourself out of writer's block when it hits you without being harsh to yourself. All of these things, often when you have someone who does it with you, it's easier because you have a person, you have a human being there helping you see what you don't see. But all those things, they are quite intangible. They are a little bit, sometimes it sounds wishy-washy when I talk about that. But those sort of underlying mindset changes, I think actually everyone in life has those things where, you just need to grow and transform. Otherwise, you're just going to be stuck in whatever it is. It doesn't have to be writing a book. This part has been much more challenging as a coach and more insightful and, joyful for me to work on that. So I could actually, I have, some clients, they say, you are really a mindset coach or something like that. You are really a life coach, but you just do it with writers because you love writing. And that is true. I think a lot of writers forget that they are a human being first and then a writer second. So maybe I should add that.
You hit the nail on the head. It's like, hey, shoot, we're freaking even here, y'all. Sorry indeed. Sorry indeed. Just because AI out is out here and all those other machines and robots are out here, it's like, hey, don't be like, oh, I gotta compete with them. I gotta be a machine. Let me find a motherboard and put it in my brain. That'll probably help. It's like, nah, you're still a human first. That's right. You're gonna need some breaks every now and then. Get some Z's. That's right, indeed. Good old breaks. Get some sunshine. A little reprieve. A little relaxation. That's right, indeed. And then build a new habit. That's right, indeed. Heck, maybe even get rid of an old one. Yes, indeed. She hit the nail on the head, indeed. So, my goodness, then. So, do you think you're going to be, now that you got this wonderful journal out there and that wonderful planner out there, do you feel like there may be some more books you might put out in the world, or you're just gonna enjoy the fact that you got this book done? You're just gonna keep on building upon this one magical planner.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I'm probably like all the writers that I'm coaching. I'm doing that thing that I shouldn't do. I have too many projects going on, but these are all projects of the heart. So I can't really say, I don't really want to say anything negative about it. But the first thing that want to do connected to the Write Habit Planner is to write, because the planner is a planner. You fill it in every day. It's like a daily journal with prompts to, to set your goals and slot them in and all of that. What I actually also want to do is write the book to it. There's a funny story there, because the Write Habit Planner that I've published now actually was a book before. So I was initially writing a self-help book with all the tips on writing habits and goal setting and like stories from my clients. And I thought, okay, well, I'm, a businesswoman, now I ought to write a business book. And I started writing it, and I got stuck about 30,000 words in, and something inside of me told me it's not quite right. And so it took me quite a long time figuring out if that book is the wrong book for me, or if I'm just stuck and I'm, overthinking it. It's very hard to diagnose yourself, even when you're a coach, as you know, right? So what I did was I took a step back and said, let's leave it for a week or two and just, enjoy myself, do something else. And then I realized that wasn't the right book for me to create at the time. And the reason is that I think when you are a writer, something that really helps you is to have prompts. Someone asks you a question. This is how journaling often works, like when you sell a journal, and I know you have your own one too, right? There's a question, you fill it in. There's a box prompting you to break down your goal, you will do it. So rather for people or writers having to read this long book that tells them how to do it better, because all the productivity books that I have on my shelf, they are lovely, but the implementation is so much harder, right? So I decided, okay, I'm going to abandon the book. I'm going to turn it into a planner instead. You just open it and fill it in. There is zero stress or having to learn anything. First, you just do it, and then you practice the writing habit, and then you do it. But of course, that book is still sitting there. Now that I have all this new knowledge from people give me feedback on the planner, they are using it, they show me pictures. Here, I filled it in, I have more questions. So now I'm thinking maybe I can return to the book, but make it an easier one. Shorter chapters, maybe even just fragments, right? Easy tips that can be done in a simple way, and not an overblown, this is the, me academic 2 years ago, this is the theory behind habit formation. I feel like this, it's not going to work. It's just going to stress people out. So I might return to the book and just, in addition to the Right Habit Planner, it'll be the Right Habit book, but in a lighter, slimmer way as well. So that's definitely on the table for me as a fun project. And I've been writing so many blogs on Medium and my website and all my courses that I can pull this really practical advice into it rather having it so theoretical. So I'm actually going to be able to write that book probably faster and easier, and it'll be better, easier to digest for the reader. So that's definitely happening, potentially not this year, but maybe next. And then, just for me to enjoy my life and to never forget that I shouldn't try to overachieve all the time, I'm writing poetry. And that's so very unlike me, the rational German who has an analytical brain, blah, blah, blah. I'm writing poetry and I'm enjoying it. And it's so gentle. It's so, I don't know how to describe it, but I just totally let go of all the expectations. And in poetry, I think you can really do that, right? You just sort of let it flow out and describe a moment, it's just an image. And I'm not a good poet, but I'm writing poetry and I'm working towards a small pamphlet to start. Maybe I'll send one into a competition or a magazine. And so that is my joy writing project that is purely for me. I'm never going to earn money with it, and that is totally fine. I don't have to sell it. I don't have to. It's not part of my business. It's just sort of part of me. And I think that's probably the thing that might actually come out sooner rather than later, because it feels easy at the moment. So the perfectionism hasn't kicked in yet for that, which I'm very grateful for.
I'm grateful and happy for it too. Indeed, right? Indeed. So you get to keep feeling at your best and exploring the depths of your mind and your heart. That's right, indeed. See what's in you. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's like Nicole Young's 2.0 or 3.0. That's right, indeed. That's right, the new version. See what comes out, indeed. And besides, if you decide to put another book out there, we definitely got to have you back on the show to promote it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And so good that you're actually discovering those parts of yourself. And yeah, I can whole totally resonate with all the works in progress where it's like, oh yeah, gonna be helping all these wonderful folks out and got all these wonderful projects just growing and not just on the computer but in the brain. And it's like, oh, it's like a giant oak tree. It keeps growing. Let me get a branch off of here. Like, ah, no, let's put the branch back. Oh, wait, that's not how that works. So, does AI play a role in any of your work these days?
Yes, I have no dogmatic position on AI. I use AI myself to, AI is only as good as whatever you put in. It's like I used to do statistics before. So when I used my software code, I had to write a good function, put something in, then it'll give me the figure that I want. If I put shit in, shit comes out, right? And so AI is basically the same, right? So if you give it the right prompts, if you say this is exactly how, I often use it for outlining an article, just, the bullet point headlines, just to see what they would do. And I see it and then I bounce off that and do my own thing. So I wouldn't let AI write what I do because I think as a coach and also as a writer, I have my own voice. And I think much of what I do, people need to see who Nicole is because they wouldn't want to work with me if I sound quite generic or, as if I'm copying some other famous coach or something. So I do write my own stuff. I do love to use AI to give me prompts. I sometimes tell AI, okay, well, I want to write this thing, so ask me these five questions in a sequence. And you can really write quite an elaborate thing to put into AI. And then it's almost like it's my writer's coach. So it'll ask the questions that I usually ask my own clients. My clients love to be asked questions. So what do you mean by that? Do you have a good story about that? All of these things. I can basically tell AI, ask me these questions, and then the questions pop up. And then I type in the answer, and it feels like I've just had a conversation. So, yeah, I don't feel in danger. I don't feel that as a writer and as a coach that AI can replace that human connection that you have to your clients, to your readers. But I think it's just useful. Why should I spend extra time on very small mini research jobs or just a quick brainstorm session? It's handy, it's there. And I tell my clients, if you are totally against AI, I will never mention it again. If you're interested, here are a few things you can try out. Let's just keep it easy and open. And I've never had anyone trying to write their book with AI. There might be people who would enjoy that, and that is good for them. But the sort of people that end up with me, they want to be very authentic with themselves. And many of them are leaders and sort of in the public domain. And they just want to write their own thing and have their, bring out their voice and have their voice heard. So I know that some people write a business book just to have a calling card. But the people that I work with, they often want to write their truth so that it helps others, so that they feel seen, so that others who, came through a similar journey or are just at the, at the edge of going into that journey, they have a guide. And all of that is again built on human connection. And so, yeah, I've never had any, I don't, I wish I could say something very polarizing to make it snappy, but I'm just like, do what you want to do. If you want to work with me, you will be writing your own thing. And I promise, and I know that you are an author too. I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel like with everything that I've written, even my academic books, but also my poetry and my other books, I've always transformed. You never go into a book one way and, don't ever change. I feel like it challenges you so much, right? It brings out new ideas. It pushes you to the edge when you have writer's block. And, it's like almost like a tool for self-growth. And that is amazing. Like, why would you want to miss that? So that's sort of my take on it.
Yeah, there you go. And it's a good take. It's not one of those hot takes because most hot takes aren't even hot these days. They're just lukewarm. But anyways, yeah. And it's good that you got that mindset indeed. And it's good that you have that stance on it because it's so true. It's like, hey, like AI is a great freaking tool as just a ball to bounce off of, just bounced on the wall. It's like, hey, it's like having a wonderful Tools like a hammer or a screwdriver. It's not like the whole darn oven. Like you won't be able to bake a book. I mean, you could bake a book with it, but it probably ain't gonna be good anyway. It's like, oh, just use it as a tool. That's right indeed, and help out other folks indeed if they so choose to add some AI to their life. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So since you're going on a few interviews promoting the great work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
That's a good one. When I think about writers and sort of what they really need is trusting themselves. But people come to me with, oh, I'm stuck on page 43, whatever, it's sort of, I'm stuck with having no time to write. And these are all surface level things. But I think what is really underneath that, and they don't, obviously, you need to, it helps to have a coach to point you towards that. They don't come in and tell me, how can I trust myself more? Right? Or how can I be more true to myself in my writing and create that space? So I wish more people would come to me and say, you know what? Let's talk goals and all of those habit things, but also, can you teach me how I can trust myself? Trust that my story matters, trust that I'm worthy to be seen. How can you teach me to trust that there is someone out there, even just maybe one person who wants to hear that story that I have to tell. If they were more tuned into that, trust is one of the biggest things, self-trust, right? In this whole writing business, and I think in life actually, that would be awesome. But the thing is, it's fine if they don't come in like that, because when you come into a coaching relationship, you come in with all these things in your head, and then that gets untangled, and then you get to the real, to the real meat of it. So I, with every person I talk to, at some point we get to the question of, can you find a way to trust yourself here and create a little bit of space? And then this is the stuff that I loved, as you can see, this is the stuff I really love talking about, and it does tend to help people the most.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's right. Helping folks to get out of that good old wonderful computer swag and a good old wonderful, wonderful school where it's like, oh, all these wires are tangled. Get us out of here. That's right, indeed. Let's flow, y'all. Slow, indeed. Let's flow, indeed. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, your fabulous planner, indeed, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would probably something like sushi or tapas. And the reason is not just that this is what I love eating, but because it's bite-sized, right? So the planner is not a big blob of do these million things to be a good and productive writer. It's like, here's one tiny thing, answer this one question, write this in this box, turn the page, do X. It's so bite-sized that it's very hard to build up massive fear. And so talking about food, I love food where you have a selection of things you can dip into. You take a small bite, and you then, if that's not for you, you take another thing. It's the same with sushi and tapas. So this is how the Right Habit Planner feels like. By the way, this is also how I like to eat. So I don't like a full plate with like a big dump of something. That just, it gets boring and it gets overwhelming, and my stomach is not that big anyways, right? So anything bite-sized in terms of food, it might be lots of little pieces of chocolate if that's your spiel. Yeah, that's what it would probably feel like, and I can't believe you asked me that. That's such a brilliant question. But I love it. It's so good. Yeah.
Hey, shoot, folks promoting the books, it's like, hey, might as well get full metaphor here, get to the taste aspect of it. It's like, hey, what it'll taste like to your brain. That's right indeed. So my goodness, my goodness. So since you now basically are an entrepreneur, there's probably been some setbacks along the way, and I'm sure the burnouts and the panic attacks, I'm sure that was probably the biggest thing you had to overcome. Has there been any other setbacks or I guess ditches that showed up along the way that actually became a setup for success for you?
It's very hard not to fall into the same old traps that you have been before, right? Yes, you transform and you sort of, elevate yourself, But there's always an old, pattern running in the background, some narrative about yourself that is very hard to disrupt. And so for me, as a businesswoman, I've also had to learn not to put too much in my schedule, because then I won't be a good coach. I won't be a good writer if I'm just like frazzled in my brain. So I do have to constantly watch myself not to slip into overworking, because there's technically you should always be making more money. It's sort of it, that, or maybe that's just what the story is that's going on in my head, right? So finding a way not to slip into scarcity mindset, but trying to give myself space, thinking or trusting there will be abundance coming if I do it with sort of energetically, with a good vibration and with joy. Every time I slip into overworking, and I can see it immediately, my calendar is full. I'm writing, I'm using my own planner. I'm writing in the margins more and more goals. At the end of the week, when I reflect, I don't even remember what I did. So I constantly, right? So I constantly need to get back into my good rhythm of creating space, taking breaks, as you said a few times now, right? Go to the sun. You find the sun, go there. In England, sometimes you have to look a little longer. But
Yeah.
just that, I've gifted myself the gift of having technically a flexible work life, flexible as a mother, flexible as a writer, picking my clients. So I don't really need to hustle all the time and stress all the time. And so I still need to learn that every day, to be very honest. So I wish I could say, oh yeah, everything is amazing, but sort of this is why I wrote that planner as well. It was basically for myself, because I easily slip into trying to do it all, trying to do too much, not taking my breaks, and then, slipping back into burnout. And that has happened one more time recently, when I just got so overwhelmed with everything. And my body is really good at that. My body is perfect. It just says, okay, we're going to give Nicole a little bit of anxiety so that she remembers to take a step back, take a breath, and go at it from a different place, go at it from spaciousness.
Spaciousness, day, serenity, serenity, serenity. That's right. One of the curses of a high achiever, where they achieve so many goals, they forget what the heck they did sometimes. It's like, oh, hey, this week's over. All right, the heck did I do again? No, I did something. Oh, here we go. I don't feel like I did all this. What's the next thing? Let me do that now, too. That's right, indeed. Where's some magical coffee? Let me IV myself to the coffee and the caffeine. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. It's all good, though. It's all good, though. That's right, indeed. It's always great when folks are living out their work and actually using their work, indeed. Because sometimes folks may create the thing and walk away from it, but it's like, nah, she's still using it herself. That's perfect concept. And the concept will make you a champion. That's right. Indeed, that's right. Indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Ooh, I like that. Well, I don't want to say, don't go into academia, because I think it taught me something, right? So all of the shit that I've gone through, it did make me who I am. I know it's such a platitude to say that. And I sometimes did think about, I could have done my PhD, or I could have not done it. And would I do it again? And would I then become a lecturer? And sometimes I think like, well, fuck, Nicole, why did you do that to yourself? You had a happy life as a journalist. But I will say, on the other side, I would have never become what I am now, a poet, a coach, a businesswoman. I would have never dared to make that step if I hadn't, gone through my own personal hell. Is maybe a bit much, but it was not pleasant. I think what I would tell myself, though, is just find ease. Just find ease, because I am just the type of person who just like everything is much harder, because I overthink. I want to, be very safe with everything I do. And a lot of my writers are exactly the same. And it's, easier to be creative and to actually do amazing and good things when you find something that feels easy, or just a glimpse of it, just a spark of ease. And as I said earlier, spaciousness, right? So that I would tell my younger self, because everything I did was about proving myself and putting things on my CV. And I mean, I think probably everyone in their life at some point understands that the ride could have been a little easier. So maybe that would be one. I'm certainly, this is what I'm trying to do with my children. You know, where can you find the joy in that thing that you're doing? You know, not being so rigid about it and stressed out. Yeah.
Good day on day. Good day on day. It's right indeed. Find that ease, y'all. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. If an easel appears, you may have found it. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. If that's not what you see ease as, and it's okay. The easel will ease its way out, maybe. Or you can ease your way out from away from the easel. It's all good. It's all good indeed. Oh, sure. This has definitely been fun on the bun. Fun on the bun indeed. And folks probably only got, I don't know, 1% of what the good doc has to offer. So for those who need to dive into the other 99% of the wonderful world of Dr. Nicole and all of her wonderful wares and to cop some copies of your magical planner, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Well, you can find the planner on Amazon in any country. It's called The Right Habit Planner. And I'm on all the socials as Dr. Nicole Jantz, Instagram, Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. TheRightHabitPlanner.com is probably the best page, because this is sort of where you can see a little video and pictures of the planner and how it works. And then from there, you get a free course. The planner comes with a free online course with, you know, you see me giving you tips about writing and writer's block and things like that. And from there, you can join the Facebook group. So if you go to TheRightHabitPlanner.com, it's probably the easiest starting point.
Oh, well, there you have it, folks. TheRightHabitPlanner.com. We're going to put a link to that in the show notes. That way you can check and see what she's got cooking. It's good stuff indeed. It's good stuff indeed. So we can grab a copy for yourself, for your fellow riders, aspiring riders, like even seasoned riders, if they want to get more organized indeed. That's right indeed. They may have been going on with salt and pepper in their whole life, but hey, this might be the Old Bay seasoning to get some spice to write in life, getting them organized. That's right. And then they'll have to leave a virtual apple on Dr. Nicole's desk and be like, yeah, that's right. The professor wins again, y'all. That's right. That's right. Well, before we close up shop, do you have any parting words for us, Dr. Nicole?
I just really want people to know that even if you're not a writer, you might be a podcaster or a speaker or just like a human being who wants to have human connection. I want everyone to know that trust that your story matters and trust that you are worthy to be seen. For the longest time, I didn't feel like I should be putting myself out there or, you know, all these things. But everyone's story matters. And everyone's story, once you write it or you tell it, already reframes how you feel and how you go through the world. And really trust that you are worthy to be seen.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.